Colossians chapter 4, tonight we're going to be looking at verses 2 to 6. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. After Paul finished writing to the, or speaking to the wives, to the husbands, to the children, to the fathers, to the employers and employees, then, you know, he was talking to them about the difficult task that they had to do and how that they could do the difficult task if they had the Spirit of God filling them and empowering them. Then he leaves that and he moves on to another section where he deals with the duties of Christians. And we're going to look at two duties tonight that he gives us here. And you watch carefully as I read and see if you can find those duties. And then we're going to look at them in detail in just a moment. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. In this section, there's two imperatives or commands. There's several that kind of look like it in English, but there's two that are actually commands. The first one is continue in prayer. The second one is to walk in wisdom. And these are two duties that God gives us. And we're going to look at those duties. There's some really good things that we can learn from it and things that I learned as I studied through it that can be of help to you and me. And so let's just focus our thoughts on this tonight as we look at these two duties of Christians. The first duty is to be praying earnestly, to be praying earnestly. There again, he says in verse 2, continue in prayer. The word continues here was very interesting when I looked it up. It actually is much stronger than we think of in English. In English, we think of the word continue to just keep on doing something. It's much stronger than that. It's a much stronger word. It literally means to be strong towards something. It means to be continue steadfastly, to attend constantly, to earnestly to be earnest towards something, to be constantly diligent. So it is a much stronger word. And so make a note of that in your mind. When he says continue in prayer, he is saying you need to earnestly pray. You need to fervently pray. You need to continually pray. It is a very, very, very important thing for us to pray. Now, the same word is found in Acts chapter 4, or excuse me, 6 verse 4. Acts 6 verse 4, where it says, but we will give ourselves continually, that's the word translated with four English words, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So the preachers there said, we're going to give ourselves continually. That's that word, earnestly. We're going to really focus on prayer. Then also we find the same word in Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, where it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. All right, there it's continuing instant. Same word. It means to be diligent, to be strong toward, to be steadfast toward, to be constantly praying. God wants us to be praying people. And we can see then that this command is to continue this prayer. It isn't just a one-off thing. Now, earnest prayer is a duty that Christians often neglect. All of us do. More than we should. And it's, you know, we may say a quick prayer before our meals and a quick prayer before bed, but very few Christians, statistically, you look at statistics, very few Christians spend more than 5 minutes a day in prayer. That's sad. We need to talk to God more than just 5 minutes a day. And it's important that we spend time with God. And so if you don't get anything else out of this message tonight, I hope that God will convict your heart that you need to spend more time in prayer. We need God. We need God's advice. We need God's counsel. We need God's encouragement. We need God's wisdom. And we get that from God and by talking to Him. You know, in the New Testament, there are no less than 24 verses that give us direct commands to pray. That's pretty powerful. You think about it. If God says it once, it's important. But if He says it 24 times just in the New Testament, we need to pray, and it's a command, that is very, very important. He commands us. Here's some of the things He commands us to pray for. He commands us to pray for our enemies. He commands us to pray in secret for laborers to go out into the harvest field and preach the gospel. He commands us to pray during temptation. He commands us to pray during persecution. He commands us to pray without ceasing. He commands us to pray for preachers. I hope you pray for me. I need it. And He commands us to pray for the afflicted and to pray for the sick and to pray for each other. Those are just some examples of the 24 commands God gives us to pray. And so prayer is something that's very important. To pray earnestly, Jesus told us to find a quiet place and to get alone and to pray from the heart. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 6. All right? Flip your Bibles open there to Matthew chapter 6. I want to just show you this and I want you to see it with your own eyes. And it'll help it to stick into your mind better. Matthew chapter 6. Let's open up our Bibles there. Matthew chapter 6. And look at verse number 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Sorry, that's chapter 5. Turn the page here, that'll be better. Chapter 6, verse number 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, what did he teach us here about prayer? Several things. And let me point out a few. Verses 6 to 8, he tells us that we are to find a quiet place to pray. He says we're to pray in secret. Now, that closet he talks about, it doesn't literally mean you got to go into your bedroom closet and push the clothes aside and shut the door and get in there so you can pray. Doesn't mean that. It's talking about a quiet, private place. It means you need to get alone with God. It's, you know, it's fine to pray in public. It's fine to pray with the family at the table. It's fine to pray at family devotions. But that's not what he's talking about. He's saying we need to get by ourselves and pray. We need to get by ourselves and spend time alone with God in prayer. So you need to find a quiet place. Where is your closet? Do you have a prayer closet where you spend quiet time with God? If you don't, you need to find one. Sometimes it may be your room. It may be some other place. But you need to have a closet where you pray. My prayer closet is in my office. And I go out there first thing in the morning. After I've taken the dog for a walk, I go out in the office, I read my Bible, I spend time in prayer. And that is my quiet place. I'm undisturbed, there's nobody around, and it's quiet, and I can pray, and I can talk to God. And by doing that, finding a closet like that is good because then we can pray out loud. You know, I believe it's helpful to pray out loud. And the reason I say that is because when we pray out loud, first of all, it helps us to pay attention to what we're saying. Sometimes we can just kind of go into neutral and just start saying things without even thinking and our minds going here and there and everywhere else. But if we pray out loud, it helps you to stay focused. It helps you to stay alert. It helps you to stay on track of what you're praying for. And it just seems like it's more like we're really communicating with God. I find it's very helpful for me to get on my knees when I pray. To just get there, I've got my soft chair in the office and a rug on the floor, and I just get down on my knees and I open up my prayer journal and I just spend time with God in prayer. And that is a helpful thing for me, and I would encourage you to do the same. But God says very clearly that we are to find a quiet place, a closet, and you need to find your closet. If you don't have a closet that you're praying in, you need to find one. All right? And it doesn't need to be a literal closet. It needs to be a quiet place for just you and God. And so he says we're to pray in a closet. But then also he says we're to pray from the heart. Did you see there? He says in verse number 8, he says, Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what, and so on. But verse number 7, he talks about praying with repetition. All right, that was the one I intended to get. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as a heathen do. What does that mean? That means to say the same thing over and over again. Right? The heathen, they don't pray to God. They just pray the same thing over again. That's why some people, you know, that's why in some churches, like the Catholic Church, they use a rosary beads, and they just say the same thing again and again and again to God, and they set it in there and count the little beads, and they say the same thing again and again and again and again. God says, don't do that. I want to talk to you. You know, if your friend came to you and all they said was the same thing over and over and over and over again all day long, you'd say, get out of here. You're driving me crazy. Right? Talk to me. Talk to me. Right? God wants us to talk to Him. Open your heart. So when He says here that we're not to use vain repetition, what He's really saying is, talk to me like a friend. Talk to God like a friend. And so we need to communicate with God and spend time with God and talk to God like a friend talks. And then we see down in verses 9 to 13 where Jesus gives us the model prayer. Sometimes this is called the Lord's Prayer. It's actually not the Lord's Prayer. It's a model prayer. Jesus didn't pray this prayer. This is what He said, disciples, here's how you can pray. But it isn't so much what He's saying in this model prayer. It is the things that He's including in it. Look at this and notice what He's including. He says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. What is that? That is worship. He's spending time honoring and worshiping God. All right? And then He says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right? So He's saying, God, I want what You want. I want Your will to be done. Please fulfill what You want in my life. Then He goes on and He says, give us this day our daily bread. All right? That's, God, I've got some needs. I need my daily bread, but I need some other things here. And these are the needs that I have. So these are petitions, personal petitions. And then verse 12, this is one that ought to scare some people. He says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Whew. Think about what that says. If we don't forgive others, we're asking God to forgive us like we don't forgive others. Whew, that's not a good thing. So that is a double-folded thing. It is reminding us that we need to forgive others so that when we pray to God and say, God, please forgive me like I forgive other people. And so it's a reminder there, but it's also a petition to God to forgive us. And then He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why? So He's asking God, please protect me today. I'm going out into the old wicked world. I need Your protection. Please protect me from the evil. Don't let me fall into temptation. Keep me from that. Help me to be alert and watch so I can avoid that. And then He says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So He ends again with worship or honoring God. So these are the elements that ought to be in our prayer. And so think about these things as you pray. These ought to be part of our prayer when we talk to God. It ought to include worship and submission and personal request and praise to God. So every time we pray, that ought to be in part of it. But then He says back in our text in Colossians, He says in verse number 2 again, He says, continue and pray and watch in the same. Watch in the same. Now that word watch means stay awake or be alert. Watch in the same. Don't fall asleep. Remember when the disciples, Jesus was with them the night before He was crucified, and He left most of them a ways away, but then He took Peter, James, and John closer with Him in the garden, and He said, watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. And then Jesus went a few more steps, and He got by Himself in His own little closet by Himself, and He started praying and pouring out His heart to the Father. And when He came back, Peter, James, and John were asleep. They weren't watching. They were asleep. And Jesus rebuked them again and says, fellas, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And again, there's a temptation there for us to get lazy or get slack or get sleepy when we're praying. And He says, watch and pray, then stay awake. So we need to stay awake. And then He goes on and He says, watch in the same with, what's the next word? With thanksgiving. He says, watch and pray, or He says, watch in the same with thanksgiving. So He says, I want you to be thankful. You know, our prayers many times are, give me this, and give me this, and give me this, and I need 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 this too, Lord, and I need this too. Amen. And we don't really spend time worshiping God. We don't spend time thanking God for what He's done for us. We don't thank God for the night of sleep. We don't thank God for caring for us. We don't thank God for our spouse. We don't thank God for our family. We don't thank God. We forget. And we just come to God and say, God, I got all these needs. Please help me with this, 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 and this, and this, and this, so I don't go under this day. You know, help me, Lord. And so we beg God. But God wants us to communicate with Him, not just ask, but to thank Him and praise Him. You know, we know even as parents that we really appreciate it when the family remembers to say, thanks, Mom, for the nice meal today, instead of just woofing it down and can I be excused? You know, we appreciate the thanks. God does too. God gives us all kinds of things, and we need to be thankful to Him. So we need to remember that. Now, why then do we struggle to pray as we should? Why do we do that? Well, there's several reasons. The first one that comes to our mind is almost always the same one. Busy. But, you know, you stop and analyze the busy one, and we all know that we typically find time for the things that are very, very important to us, don't we? I mean, you might have a super busy day planned for tomorrow, but if there's one thing that is very important that you do, you'll figure out how to do it. You'll set aside that time because that is, I got to do that. If I don't get that done, boy, I'm in big trouble. And so we'll make time for it. And so busyness really isn't any more than an excuse. If we would say, I must pray. You know, I can't remember what preacher said this, but it's probably been more than one preacher. But one preacher would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day, study his Bible, and spend time with God for 3 or 4 hours in his devotional time. And he said something to this nature, that if he didn't spend that time with God, he felt like it was a wasted day. He said, this was very, 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 very important. And it really is. It really is when you stop and think about it. It is important for us to communicate with God. It really, really is. We need that time with God. So every day we need to find our closet. We need to go to our closet. We need to spend time with God in prayer, talking to the Lord, reading the Word of God, and spending time with Him. So excuses, busyness isn't a good one. Another reason, here's another valid reason why we don't pray. Perhaps it is because we don't really know much about God like we should. If we don't, you know, you think about it. When you've got a friend that you're really close to, you know them in and out. You've known them for years. You can sit and talk to them for hours. Time flies by and think, oh, we've been talking that long, can't believe it. And it just goes, poof, time goes by. But you talk to somebody you've never met before, you say about 3 words and you can't think of a single thing to say. I just don't know what to say to them. It's because we don't know them. Same thing it is with God. The better you know God, the more you'll have to talk to God about. But if you can only think about 1 minute's worth of stuff to talk to God about, probably because you don't know God very well. And we need to get back into the Scriptures and learn about God. Who is God? What do I know about God? And so spend time with God. Study His character. Learn about Him. And then another reason that we don't pray, it could be that we lack faith in prayer. And we struggle with this. There's times I struggle with that. Where we say, you know, what's the sense in praying? God never seems to answer that prayer anyway. And we lack faith. But we need to remember that God is sovereign. He knows what is right. He knows the best choices. And we need to pray just because God is who He is. And instead of lacking faith, we need to go back into the Bible and look at God's character and see the way that He has answered in the past and count our blessings. We sang that song tonight. Count your blessings. Did we sing it tonight? Yeah, I thought we did. And count your blessings. And that's another thing that will remind us. God has been good to me. And we can thank God for that and remind ourselves of that. And thank God that we have a free country. And thank God that we've got a good home. And thank God that we've got the clothes that we have. And we've got the food that we have. And that God has taken care of us and met our needs. And He's abundantly supplied over and over again for us. And we forget those things. But we need to spend time with God and remember that God does care. And so when you start feeling like you lack faith, just remember God doesn't always answer the way we want, but God will always answer. But the better we know Him, the more we are intimate with Him in prayer, the easier it is to communicate with Him and to sense His heart. And so we need to spend time in prayer. Now, I don't know about you, but I have to admit, I need prayer revival. I need prayer revival. I spend time with God every day in prayer, but I need to pray more. I need to be more earnest with my prayer. I need to spend more quality time in prayer. I need my prayer to be more of what God wants it to be. I need that, and perhaps you do too. So if we need revival in prayer, let's just begin asking God, God, revive my prayer life. But then we notice here that Paul said in verses 3 and 4, he says, with all praying also for us. that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Now, the word was all. When I saw that word was all, I honestly didn't really know what it meant. I looked up the Greek word, and I thought, oh, wow. And so then I looked up the English word. It meant exactly the same thing as the Greek word did. You know what with all means? With all literally means this. It means together with this. Together with this. At the same time. So Paul was saying, continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. At the same time, praying also for us. That's pretty awesome. He says, not only do you pray for yourself, not only spend time quiet in your quiet time with God in your little closet and talking to God about your needs and your burdens and pouring your heart out to God and spending that sweet, quiet time with God, but also, in the same time, pray for us. Paul said, I need your prayers. And so, he was petitioning them. He makes two special prayer requests. He gives them these requests. Note these requests. You might even number them in your Bible if you would. And it says here, was all praying also for us, number one, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So what was he saying? Open unto us a door of utterance. What in the world does that mean? It means open up opportunities to share the gospel. Paul said, pray for me that God would open up opportunities for me to share the gospel. He's writing to these Colossians and to show them that he had not lost his zeal for praying even in his situation. Now, where was Paul when he was writing this? He was in prison. He was sitting there with chains on his arms or his feet, one of the two, maybe both. He was in chains. And he was writing this and he said, pray for me. He says, I am in bonds. But even in my bonds, I want to be able to speak for Christ, the mysteries of Christ. I want to tell others about this wonderful truth about Jesus Christ. Pray that I will be able to do that. Pray that God will open a door of utterance. You know, sometimes we wonder, and I'm as guilty as any, we wonder why we don't have better opportunities to witness to people. One of the reasons we don't pray about it. Paul said, pray that God would open unto me a door of utterance. I wonder, when's the last time you prayed and said, God, please, today, open an opportunity for me to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ? Have you prayed that? Need to. Need to ask God. God, open a door of opportunity for me to share the gospel with somebody, to be able to give them a tract, or to tell them about Jesus, to tell them the gospel, to tell them how I was saved, or something. Open a door for me. So Paul was saying, pray for me that God would open a door of utterance for me. And that's the same thing we need to pray for ourselves. Not just for the preachers. Not just for the people like Paul that were sharing the gospel. So that tells us we need to pray for our missionaries that way. Brother Dave, Brother Benjamin, and Brother Chris, we need to be praying for them that God would open unto them a door of utterance. That God would give them open opportunities to share the gospel. But also pray for ourselves the same thing. Don't forget that word with all. With all means at the same time. Pray for them, pray for you. All right. Then he gives a second request in verse number 4, that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. It refers to the gospel, that I might make it manifest. Manifest means to be brought out in the open, to make it visible. All right. So he's saying that I might be able to make the gospel clear. That I might make the gospel clear to people as I ought. The word ought there is a Greek word that literally means it is a necessity. It is an absolute necessity. He said, this is a necessity, something I must do. And so pray that I will do it as I am commanded to do. All right? So he's emphasizing there that I have a command upon me to preach the gospel, to tell other people about Christ, and so do you and so do me. Each of us do. We have a command of God to tell others about Christ. Paul said, pray that God will open up a door of opportunity. And then he says, pray that I will speak as I ought to speak. Now, you ever think about that? Did Paul ever come across to you as a coward? And when I read Paul's accounts, I think the last word I would ever think of to describe Paul as a coward. He seemed brave all the time. He'd face the mobs. He'd preach the gospel. They're throwing rocks at him, and he's still preaching at him. I mean, he seems strong. But Paul says here, pray for me, because deep down inside, I'm a coward just like everybody else. I fear to preach the gospel just like everybody else. I need your prayers. I need God's boldness. And if Paul needed the boldness of God and the power of God to be able to speak out like he should, I do too. And so do you. We need that. And we know that we struggle sometimes to be brave and fearless in sharing the gospel. And one of the reasons is we don't pray about it. So Paul sits here, pray for yourselves, and at the same time, pray for me that God would open a door of utterance and that God would make me bold in speaking out as I should to tell others about the gospel. And so those are two prayer requests you can pray for your preacher, your missionaries, and yourself. Open the door for me, God, today to give me an opportunity to speak and give me boldness. Very, very important. Now, we find the second command. The first command was that we need to be praying earnestly. The second command is to be walking wisely. Second command, to be walking wisely. Verse number 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. All right? He says here that we must walk wisely. And when he says before them that are without, without what? Without Christ. Those that are outside of Christ. He said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without of Christ. So, in other words, when you go out into the world, and you go out to work, and you go to school, and you go to places where the unbelievers are, we need to walk wisely. Because we're among the unbelievers. Why would we need to do that? We need to be careful so that we are walking wisely in a way that we will be representing Jesus Christ. Now, remember the word wise. We've learned this many times before. It means wisdom is a God-given ability to make right choices. So if we're going to make the right choices in life, we need God's help. And so he says we're to walk wisely. Every step that we take in life, he makes the Christian life like a walk. Okay? There's a step, there's a step, there's a step. Every step we take in life, we either take a wise step or a foolish step. And God says we need to make sure that we walk in wisdom. Walk wisely. Walk in wise steps. And we ask ourselves a question, how can we walk more wisely? How can we be more wise than we are? You know, we may try a little bit to be wise, but how can we walk more wisely? Well, number one, here's some answers from the scriptures. All right, let's just look at it. I've got about 5 verses from the Bible that'll help us. Maybe 6. All right, first one is we need to learn to fear God. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Learn to fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So if we fear God, what does it mean to fear God? To fear God means to respect Him in such a way that I do not want to do anything that would hurt His feelings in any way, shape, or form. I don't want to do anything that would shame Him in any way. So he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you fear God, you will seek God's wisdom. Say, God, I fear you. I want to make sure I make every step count for you. I don't want to be a fool today. So we need to learn to fear God. Number 2 is to spend more time in the Bible. Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. All right, the simple is in Proverbs, Solomon compares the simple as the foolish. So the simple are the foolish and the wise are the non-simple ones. So he says here, if we're going to avoid being simple, we need to have light and we need to have understanding, and it comes from entering into God's Word. You cannot get God's wisdom without studying God's Word. It has to be. It is an absolute must. We need to spend time with God in the Bible. The purpose of the book of the Proverbs, you read in chapter 1 of Proverbs, is you start reading those verses down through the very first verses in Proverbs. You get down to verse number 3, he's telling us the reason he's writing the book of Proverbs. In verse number 3, he says, to receive instruction of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity. He says, the reason I'm writing this book is to give you wisdom. So the book of Proverbs is full of wisdom to give you and me wisdom so that we can live a wise life. So there's how we can walk in wisdom. Study the book. Number 3, we need to make walking wisely a priority. It needs to be a priority. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Principal means it's a priority. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. He said, wisdom is something I've got to get. I've got to have wisdom. And you know, I would challenge you. I looked it up. There's 119 verses in the book of Proverbs that talk about wisdom. Now, there's only 900 verses, or right around 900 verses in Proverbs. That means one out of every 9 verses in Proverbs. Is that how it work out? 900, there's 112. So one out of every 9 verses in Proverbs talks about wisdom. It is full of books of wisdom. There's lots in there you can learn about God and wisdom. Just go through and study. Look up every word in the book of Proverbs on wisdom. You know, it is so easy today. We got our Bible programs. All you got to do is type in there, wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And boom, it pops up. There'll be wise and wisdom and you know, all this kind of thing. But look at all those verses. It is very, very helpful. Number four, ask God for wisdom. Remember James 1:5, the verse we memorized, James 1:5? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not and should be given him. Ask of God and he will give it to you. Ask God for wisdom. And so we need to walk wisely. Ask God for it. Then the last one is follow the advice of 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 21 and 22. Again, verses we've memorized. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22. God says these are things that will help us to use our time, to be wise with our time. Now, he says here, back in our text, he says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Redeem means to buy up, to use it wisely, to make wise use of every moment. Redeeming the time. I like this little poem, and you've perhaps heard this poem, but it's good for us to hear it again. It's a poem by Dr. Benjamin E. Mays. He says, I've only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it, forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give an account if I abuse it, just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Great thoughts. Every minute of every day God has given to us, we have a responsibility to use it right. God says we're to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And then he goes on in verse number 6 and he clarifies this in verse 6 and he says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Most likely God is here speaking still of this communication with the unbeliever. He's all right in the context here. And he says, the grace, remember grace is divine help, or in this case it's applying to us, so it is undeserved kindness. Let your speech be always with undeserved kindness. What is he saying? He's saying when you're speaking to people that don't know the Lord, or anybody for that matter, show them undeserved kindness when you talk to them. In other words, don't always say the meanest thing that they deserve. Say it in a nice way. And sometimes we struggle with that. But that's what God wants us to do. Say what we have to say in a nice way. He says, seasoned with salt. All right, when we talk about seasoning our words with salt, you don't take your words and say, all right, I'm going to say, I love you. I've got to salt a little bit. No, he's not talking about literal salt. But why do we salt things? We salt things to make them taste better, and we salt things to make them preserve. And those are two reasons why we need to salt our words. Make sure the things we say are salted so that they taste better and are preserved. They will last and they are good words. Now, we ought to know before we open our mouths, he says, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. All right, so he says when you're talking to someone, especially an unbeliever, you need to know how you ought or what is right. What's the right way to answer them? And we need to answer them in the right way. That means a biblical way. That means a sweet way, a kind way. But we need to answer every man in the right way that we ought to answer them. Now, as we look at this tonight, we've looked at two commands. The first command was to pray. The second command was to walk wisely. And you know, these are two things that all of us need to work at. I need to work at it. I need to work at praying more, and I certainly need to work more at walking wisely. And with my walk, my lips, my actions, the way that I live, so that people around me can see Jesus Christ in me. And that ought to be the passion of every one of us. I want Christ to be seen in me. Paul had that burden. He said, pray for me that I would do right. And then he says, walk in wisdom. And he's still got this thought in mind. We need to walk in a way that will honor the Lord. And Paul had that burden, and we need to have that burden too. So tonight, have you been fulfilling your duties to pray earnestly? If not, maybe you need a prayer revival. You need to just ask God, God, help me to begin praying earnestly like I should pray. Spend quality time in prayer. Get to know God. If you pray, if you say, tomorrow I'm going to pray earnestly, and you pray and 2 minutes later you can't think of a single thing to say, then you need to just pour your heart out to God and say, oh God, I just don't know you. I am so sorry. I really don't know you. Teach me about you so that we can be close, so I can pour out my heart and talk to you. You know, the more we know God, the more we'll be able to communicate with Him. Spend time with God. Spend time in His Word. Pray over the Scriptures as you're reading. As you're reading, you just pray to God and say, God, I don't understand that. Please help me to understand it. What are you talking about there? What's that mean? Help me to see that. And pray over it. And oh, Lord, help me to do that. That is so hard. That is something lacking in my life. Please help me with that one. It's great to pray over the Scriptures as you're reading. It'll help you. It'll be a blessing to you. It'll make the Scriptures more full to you. It'll be a blessing. And then God says, walk wisely, especially before the unbelievers. We've got to be careful how we live, that we might not be a harmful testimony before them, but that we might point them to Jesus. And so let's ask God to help us to live in a way that our mouth and our life is pointing people to Jesus. We pray to that end. We live to that end. Lord will bless to that end.